Well, as you heard in headlines, a lot of NBA headlines from the last 24 hours. Of course, we were discussing yesterday the farewell to Dwayne Wade. We didn't officially know if that would be the last time we saw Dirk Nowitzki, but of course he makes that official. So you say goodbye to those guys, but also the impromptu press conference where you thought maybe, just maybe, there would be a coaching change for the LA Lakers. Nope, not so much. It's Magic Johnson who decides to step down. So Steve Kuyler joins us from Basketball Insiders. Steve, let's start with Magic Johnson. Did you see this coming? I mean, did you think when he stepped up to the microphone it was going to be talking about replacing Luke Walton?
Well, let's be real about what really happened there. He didn't even really step up to the microphone. He just had some random reporters and said, hey, I got something I want to say. So it wasn't even that. So, no, it was stunning, shocking, unexpected, unexpected times 50. Like, if there were 100 things I expected to happen in the NBA yesterday, that was not one of them.
And, Steve, what he had to say, you know, the fact that he couldn't look Jeannie Buss in the eye and tell her because, you know, he loves her like a sister and he just wants to go back to being, you know, an ambassador of the game and not being a part of the front office. I mean, I kind of, you know, turned my head to the side. I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, you're quitting on your team and you just expect magically, like, all of this to kind of fall back into place for you? Is it going to be that simple for Magic Johnson going forward?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One, you could tell he was not having a good time. And, you know, this is a guy that's worth more than $1 billion. He's achieved everything he can achieve in the sport. He did not need this. And I think the other part of it was, and I think many people do this, you know, you look at the job of a general manager in any sport and go, oh, well, that's an easy job. I could do it. And you don't think about the hundreds of hours and all of the stresses and all of the criticisms. And certainly if you're Magic Johnson, you're used to everybody loving you. And right now, a lot of people in LA are like, this guy's made terrible decisions. He's gotten rid of this guy and that guy and gave all this money to LeBron and all he cares about is, you know, it's been a pretty negative ride for Magic Johnson. So I would imagine the pressures, the stresses and all of this were not what he signed up for. And it looked like he looked in the mirror and said, you know what? I don't need any of it.
Yep. Steve, are you still with us?
I'm still with you.
Okay, sorry. Sound like you just got cut off there for a moment. You know, I want to continue the role of Magic Johnson because I guess I didn't realize this, but I know kind of shortly after there was a lot of talk about how Magic wasn't really around the team and how maybe his role wasn't as hands-on as maybe what some were led to believe, or at least people on the very outside kind of seeing just the whole Laker operation. Was that something that you'd noticed, and was that kind of a common thought when he was around that he actually wasn't around and as hands-on as maybe some believed?
Well, I think there's two parts to that. One, you know, he's a team president. It's not uncommon for team presidents to kind of delegate out what I'll call the day-to-day. There's a day-to-day general manager in L.A. His name is Rob Pelinka. Mm-hmm. He's got a staff under him, and Rob was tasked with being the guy that put in the 100-hour work week. So I think a misunderstanding of Magic Johnson's role was clear. But I also think that everybody expected a little bit more because he talked about, you know, bringing the Lakers franchise back to greatness and, you know, being the guy and it's my decision. And you can't be a part-time guy and have that kind of mindset. And I think that everyone expected Magic Johnson to be a full-time operator. And when the reality of it was, he didn't want to be that and certainly wasn't doing that, then that cast its own negative shadow. But I go back to, you know, you just look at the look on his face and everything he said for 40 minutes. And that thing went on last night for easily 40 minutes. And it was all about how he just wants to be liked again. And I think that weighed more into this than anything else.
You know, what's next for the Lakers at this point, Steve? I mean, what do they do at this particular junction, do you think?
Well, you know, it was a landmine that went off in the organization yesterday, and I don't mean that trivially, but, you know, everybody kind of expected at the end of the night if Luke Walton and his staff was going to be let go and we start this new process, and this wasn't where the Lakers expected to go. And again, Magic Johnson left no hints to anybody. He met with LeBron James and his agent, Rich Paul. They talked for hours about the direction of the franchise. Not a hint, not a peep. He met earlier with Jeannie Buss. He empowered him to do whatever he felt was necessary with Luke Walton, never a hint, never a peep. So it's not like when Jeannie made the decision to move Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak out, where she'd been working the back channels to try to figure out what she could do with the franchise, she found out about this the same time we did. So there's a reality that what's next, I don't even think they know. But there's a truth that, you know, look, the organization was being run on a day-to-day by Rob Pelinka. That continues today. But they've got to find somebody who's going to sit at the top of this thing and steer it in the right direction, because not only do they have a half-finished project in terms of free agency and getting stars, but they've got a draft around the corner where they're going to have probably a top 10 pick. So there's a lot of work to be done and not a whole lot of time to do it. And by the way, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Washington Wizards, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Phoenix Suns are all looking for people to run their organization too. There's going to be competition for some of the elite level guys.
Talking to Steve Kyler, Basketball Insiders here on AM 590 ESPN Omaha. We said goodbye to a couple players last night. I want to start with Dwayne Wade, because something that was really making the video that went viral over the last 24 hours was the Budweiser salute to Dwayne Wade, and just the overall, I mean, just kind of the appreciation for him. And we've always had that for him as a player. I got to tell you, I had no idea about half the things that he was involved in off the court with, giving so much of his time and his own money to so many different causes. Was that something that was, I mean, for someone like you, Steve, who really does follow this a lot closer than we do, was that something that was just kind of common with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, it really was. And to be fair, and not to try taking away from Dwayne, the number of guys that do things like that, scholarships, funding things you've never heard of, hearing a tragic story and getting involved, you know, it's one thing, and most people don't know this, you see this community stuff that teams do, NBA cares, things like that, they have to do that in their contract. In fact, they get paid additional money for going to these things that are team-sponsored things. So I don't get overly interested in you went to the mandatory team, you know, giveaway school supply thing. It's the stuff you do when no one's looking that really matters. And I think Dwayne Wade, and there's probably a good dozen NBA players that are really, I want to get involved, but I don't want my name out there. Mm-hmm. I want to get involved, but this isn't about me. It's about you. And it was really nice that some of these things came to light, because some of these things Dwayne has been doing, the scholarship stuff and helping families, especially families in the Miami area and the Chicago area, is something he's been doing for most of his career.
Yeah, and you know, when we see great players step away from the game like this, Steve, I feel like there's always this, you know, need to rank them or compare them to the other all-time greats. When you start thinking about Dwayne Wade's long-term place in the game, who are some of the names that he stands alongside, in your opinion?
You know, when you look at Dwayne Wade, his career has been amazing, especially when you think about it, that he won championships with kind of two different rosters. He had that Shaquille O'Neal roster where he was flash and he kind of led the way and Shaquille helped him get it done. And then you had the LeBron roster where he was more of the elder statesman of the team. There was a run where Dwayne Wade was maybe the best two guard in basketball. And that, when you think about that in those terms, you know, he's not in the Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan category, but certainly he's in the Dominique Wilkins, that era of the next 10. You know, when you think about the top 10 players in basketball history, Dwayne doesn't make that list. But I think there's a real case that he deserves to be in the 11 to 20 range, just in terms of how well he did it. And think about this, he was as unheralded a draft pick coming in as maybe you could imagine. And he's going to go down in history not only as a multi-time NBA champion, but maybe one of the best who's ever played the position.
If you're starting to kind of get a feel for just the NBA playoffs, where is your focus going to be in the first round? Where do you think we're going to get maybe the more enticing matchup?
Well, this Orlando Magic team is going to be an interesting team to watch, because they beat everybody. They beat Toronto. They beat Boston. You know, they've been really good on their home floor. They tend to play down-to-down competition, but play up to good competition. So if the standings hold true and they pull, say, the Philadelphia 76ers, there could be an upset there, because Sixers have not been very good as a four-man unit with their stars. So Orlando could be kind of the dark horse in all this. Indiana has been incredibly good in the Eastern Conference. You just wish they'd have Victor Oladipo, because what that other group has done in terms of not only staying in the hunt, but really being aggressive, has been real impressive. And Brooklyn seems to get better every game they play, and they're going to be a tough matchup, especially if they pull the Philadelphia 76ers or the Toronto Raptors, either in that 6-7 spot in the East. So the East seems like it's got a lot more going for it. I don't think there's anybody in the bottom of the Western Conference that's going to give the Warriors or the Nuggets or the Portland Trail Blazers a lot of noise, other than, say, maybe the L.A. Clippers. You know, the Clippers were a team at the trade deadline that seemed like they were blowing it up and looking for the lottery, and they not only cemented a playoff berth, but they've been one of the most fun teams to watch defensively. They're a very good team, and we'll see what Oklahoma City looks like. They're a little banged up, but Oklahoma City and certainly Houston Rockets seem like they've got the resume to give the Warriors a run, especially as we get deeper into the playoffs.
And Steve, speaking of those Golden State Warriors, as we get the playoff run underway here, you know, I don't think there's anybody that's going to dispute that they are the favorites, but in comparison to, say, previous years, how heavy of a favorite do you feel like they are this particular time around?
I think this is as close a gap as we've seen in the Warriors' modern era in terms of their spot at number one, and then you get into the Denvers and the Houstons and Oklahoma City and Portland. I don't think the gap between the Warriors and everybody else is nearly the chasm that it was 2-3 years ago. They are as exposed right now as anybody, but there's a trick to it. They have five guys that are all stars. They're going to have plenty of time between games to get rested and get right. And when it matters, they can throw all kinds of offense and defensive looks at you. So, you know, I think the gap is narrower, but the Warriors still way out in front in my book.
If you're looking at who emerges in the East, too, this has been something, and I know we've talked to you about this as well. Going into the season, it looked like, okay, Boston would be right there. Then, you take a look at the Sixers, Toronto. Just where everybody is right now, who are you kind of leaning on in the East?
You know, I still like the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's because of how well they've played and how good they've been defensively. They probably have the MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think they're the team, but look, they've never been there. This isn't a team that's been at the top. Toronto, year after year, wins all of these games, gets into the postseason, becomes really average in the postseason. They've got Kawhi Leonard. He's got a whole lot of things to play for. They've managed his minutes to make sure that he was completely healthy when we get here. We'll see what that looks like, especially with Marc Gasol. The Boston Celtics have been a disjumbled mess. They've never been the same team night to night. So we'll see what they are. I mean, it's wide open in terms of what this really looks like in terms of the Eastern Conference.
Once again, Steve Kuyler with BasketballInsiders.com. Steve, really appreciate your time. We'll look forward to talking to you throughout the playoffs.
Anytime, fellas. Be well.
Mm-hmm, you bet. All right. Interesting stuff last night, Nick. As we said in headlines, I don't think anyone in the world except Magic Johnson probably knew that he was going to just up and resign. It's almost like one of those... You know, you feel like you got to say something, you're frustrated, and then all of a sudden you just blurt out, and I quit, and I'm gone.
And Steve's right. Like, if I'm in the media pool, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, by the way, I got something to announce.
You think Luke Walton's
getting
fired.
But are you, though? And that's the thing. Like, are you thinking this is how he's going to do it? He's like, hey, by the way, come here. Hey, guys, everybody, I got really some...
You have a camera over there, right?
Luke Walton, by the way, is going to be fired. Like, you wouldn't do it that way either. So it's like, wait, what's going on here? So it was very, very, it just was not ideal and very surprising. And I didn't realize that there just wasn't a lot of involvement with Magic Johnson until you heard a lot of people talking about this that have followed the Lakers throughout the season, that you just assumed because of his passion for not only that organization, but for the sport itself and, you know, being a key role, you know, playing that key role of getting LeBron James over there, that he would be heavily involved with, you know, from what he called really trying to get this thing in the right direction. Apparently not. And so... It'll be interesting to see what route they go, but I guess if you got kind of used to that, maybe the immediate personnel and the players, maybe they weren't so surprised by this.
Well, and it sounds like Rob Pelinka is going to stay, according to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN. If anything, his power is going to increase in terms of making decisions for the Lakers. Nick, I don't know. Have you seen Jeannie Buss's Twitter profile picture, by the way?
I have not, no.
Let me show it to you real quick.
Whoa.
Not exactly the kind of thing you would expect for somebody who owns a major sports franchise.
Don't move those basketballs.
It's her naked, essentially lying.
Is she going to be in the next body issue?
I don't know, but it's her wearing no clothes with just two basketballs covering her chest area.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Okay. Again, for people who, Can you imagine, like, you know, I mean, she owns a pro sports franchise, a very successful pro sports franchise.
Well, Robert Kraft is getting rub and tug, so.
That's true. Can you, I mean, but can you imagine, like, Jerry Jones having a profile picture?
Nor would I want to. No, I would never imagine that because I'd never want to. If my mind ever went there, I would seek help.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. I mean, hey, good for her. It's, you know, her choice. But, yeah, it sounds like Rob Pelinka is going to, at least for the short term, be calling the shots for the Lakers, Nick. And there are shots to be called because that franchise has not had a good run as of recent. So much interest going forward. All right, glad you're with us here on a Wednesday afternoon. Number to call if you want to join the program, by the way, 402-573-0590 here on AM 590.
ESPN Tomorrow.